The issue we are discussing today in this episode of Cut the Clutter is the controversial release of 11 gang rape convicts in Gujarat. They came out of the prison and then, as we all saw in those pictures, videos, they were greeted by their family members, others from the village, etc. with sweets. They were greeted with aartis, tilaks, tikas, stuff like that. So it looked like it was a celebratory release. Now for people convicted of gang rape. Gang rape also as part of riots that led to many deaths. But in the specific case, in the incident that involved them, 14 deaths. So the woman they had raped, I'm not saying alleged because they are convicts. The woman they had gang raped. In her family, 14 persons were killed. So the person at the center of this story is Bilkis Yaqub Rasool, also known as Bilkis Bano. She was 19 then. She was 19 and 5 months pregnant. 14 members of her family were killed, including her 3-year-old daughter already. Now, this was a terrible crime and one of the most infamous crimes in that really bad period for Gujarat, when sort of uncontrolled rioting went on for quite some time after the burning of the train compartment carrying Hindu pilgrims at Godhra railway station. That's why often people say Godhra riots. Correct expression is post-Godhra riots, but people tend to say Godhra riots. So this was one of the most prominent, infamous incidents of those riots. Now, as with every argument, there are different sides. And this is not a kind of argument or kind of story on which we cannot have an opinion. So I have an opinion and the print has an opinion. And since I am the editor, I state that as my opinion. So that opinion you will see right up as we talk. And that opinion we stated in our 50-word editorial today, which you will see on my screen as I talk. And it will stay on long enough for you to read it carefully. And also, if you so wish, you can take a screenshot or better still, go to any of our social media handles or our website and catch it. Now, that's a very clear opinion as far as we are concerned. So from this analysis, as usual, I will keep opinion out besides this, because after this clarity, I should not be cluttering it up any further with on the one hand. On the other hand, you know, when I used to edit the Indian Express, people would ask me that very often your paper takes one position or the other. You don't say on the one hand, on the other hand. And my sort of standard facetious answer used to be, on the one hand is the Times of India, on the other hand is the Hindustan Times. So if the Express also starts doing this and that, then how will we be any different? At the print, we have taken it to yet another level where we state our view in only 50 words. That, by the way, is the maximum number of words, generally 280 characters, that a full tweet can take. So after that opinion, I don't want to clutter it further. Let's go back to facts. What is the controversy? Controversy is, yet yes, they were gang rape convicts. They did a terrible thing. They were put to trial. They were convicted. Their convictions were then upheld by higher courts, including the Supreme Court. So there is zero doubt that they were criminals. They were convicts. For a very bad, heinous crime. Heinous crime in India, I believe, is anything that draws a sentence of more than 7 years. But what can be a worse crime than gang rape? Which in this case, they were not convicted for murder, but lots of murdering had happened around them from the same mob. So 12 were convicted like that. One died while in custody. 11 were released. These 11 were released using the state government's remission powers, and therein lies the rub. The rub is that under which law or which regulation were they released? Now, this is a very complicated thing, and that's the reason I thought a full episode of Cut the Clutter might be called for. And before I get ahead with this, I will do something that you might find that might surprise you, because this is such a serious, somber subject. And I'm going back to lyrics from a movie. But if I tell you the two lines from this famous song from a 1969 movie called Do Bhai, starring Ashok Kumar and Jitendra, one a judge, Ashok Kumar as judge, Jitendra as a cop, and the lines written by late Anand Bakshi. That pretty much sums up the controversy here. And this line was, इस दुनिया में है दुनिया वालों, बड़ा मुश्किल है इंसाफ करना, बड़ा आसान है देना सजाएं, बड़ा मुश्किल है पर माफ़ करना. दिस इज़ ए जजेज लिमेंट दैट यू नो इट्स वेरी डिफिकल्ट टू डिस्पेंस जस्टिस बिकॉज इट्स वेरी ईजी टू गिव पीपल पनिशमेंट बट इट्स वेरी डिफिकल्ट टू एक्विट और पार्डन देम. इन दिस केस पनिशमेंट वॉज गिवन बट नाउ दे हैव नॉट बीन पार्डन्ड बट दिस रिमिशन मीन्स सजा माफ़ी. That was a dilemma. Now you can look at it purely in legal terms as a judge might, right? Or you look at it in moral terms, or then you look at it in terms of the choices available to the state and the judiciary. Also, we have to understand whether this was something done by the judges or by the executive. Was it done by a state government or a central government? Or by the judiciary, because both have different meanings. The fact is, in this case, both have had a role to play. The decision to release them was the decision of the executive, that is the state government. Because it's a decision of the executive, this is prone to challenge. It can be challenged legally in the High Court or in the Supreme Court, because they are yet to hold forth on this. And they will have the power to hold forth on this and also to reverse this. And likely the activist lawyers around Bilkis Banu are saying that that's the course they are going to follow. But remember that this happened at the nudge of the judiciary, because it is the Supreme Court that said, first of all, that in this case, in the case of these 11, a particular understanding of the regulations and laws would be applicable. And I will explain it to you with much help from Apurva Mandhani, my young colleague who covers law and courts for us. And she's also done a very fine piece on this, which you can check out. I'm sharing a link with you with the description of this episode of Cut the Clutter. Now, there is a law. First of all, the Constitution of India gives the president and the governors power to pardon convicts or to commute their sentences. That's why you find that a lot of people who get the death sentence, they make a commutation appeal to the president through Government of India, through the Home Ministry. And you've seen this, all the prominent cases, Yaqub, Memon, Afzal Guru, etc., etc. Government makes a recommendation. Usually the president or the governor is bound by that recommendation. Now, these are Articles 72 and 161 of our Constitution, but that's a different thing. That's a presidential pardon or presidential commutation of a sentence, right? And very often you will find, more often than not, death sentences are commuted to life imprisonment in India. Very few people in India are actually finally hanged. That is the reason India, in its independent history, has hanged fewer people than the Chinese might average in any month of the year, or maybe less than a month of the year, or the Saudis for that matter, or the Iranians. India rarely hangs people because ultimately, even if the sentence is upheld at the Supreme Court, at the presidential level, there is a commutation. So that's a different thing. The other is a remission. Now, remission means when prisoners have spent a lot of time in jail. So generally, when prisoners have spent about half of their sentence, then the state government, because they have a remission, prisoner remission board, they can take a view that this prisoner has served time, this prisoner has been a good prisoner. In any case, when a prisoner serves a long sentence, depending on the prisoner's good conduct, for every year served in jail, a certain number of days are added as remission. But remember, while state governments have these powers, there are limitations to these powers. For example, if anybody is sentenced to death or sentenced to life imprisonment, the convict cannot be released unless they have served at least 14 years in jail. Before that, they cannot be released even by way of remission. And then remission process has to go through many layers of diligence. Now, there was a policy that was drawn in 1992, a long time back. That policy, you will see a screenshot of that policy on my screen. You can again take a screenshot for reference if you so wish. That was a very brief policy. this was purely an executive policy, and it said that for any prisoner who has spent 13 years in jail, after a prisoner completes 13 years, the state government, a designated IGP, Inspector General of Police, will then take a call and start the process of figuring out whether this prisoner deserves a remission in sentence. Because remember, in our jails, while nearly 3/4 of the prisoners in our jails are under trials, poor things, because you know they haven't been tried, they haven't been held guilty. So they may be innocent for all we know, but yet they carry on in jail. Of those convicts, those actually convicted spending time in our jail, more than a half are spending life sentences because they stay there for a long time. So this was a humane approach, that you check out their track record, see if they behave well, and release them after 14 years. The government had that power. These 11 prisoners or convicts have been released by Gujarat government exercising those powers. So where is the issue? You might have seen in criticism, a lot of people saying, look, the Supreme Court has now said, and government has also made a policy, that those convicted of gang rape or rapes leading to murder or murder, they cannot be released like this. First criticism that you've seen is that there's a law on the books, law and regulation as drafted by central government in January 2014. UPA was still in power. In fact, 23rd January 2014, that says that remission can't be given, number one, if it was a case investigated by the CBI or by a central agency, which is empowered by what is called as Delhi Special Establishment Act. So state government doesn't have the power unless you reach the central government. I am making that interpretation, but state government doesn't have the power. This case was investigated by the CBI. Remember, this case, the state police had dismissed it, saying that this is not convincing, there are technical issues, they were not pursuing the case. Then a bunch of activists helped Bilkis Bano, and these activists were mainly Huma Khan, Farah Naqvi, and Malini Ghosh, who then enabled her to challenge this in the Supreme Court. And Supreme Court then asked for a report from a Gujarat police officer, and that report was then used to hand over the case to the CBI, and that's how this case was investigated, and that's how it led to the conviction of these people in 2008. So this case went through many iterations. So this was a CBI case. That was the first objection. If it's a CBI case, how can the state government give remission? Number two, the new policy, the 2014 policy, also said that you cannot give remission if it's a rape with murder or a gang rape or a rape leading to murder. So a mob may be involved in a gang rape, and some other members of the mob might have murdered the person, but this is a gang rape leading to murder, a rape leading to murder. In these cases, remission can't be given. So how the hell did Gujarat government give this remission? So look at the other side of the story. And that's the reason I talked about dilemmas of dispensing pardon or freedom of remission as part of the larger dilemmas of dispensing justice. In 1992, the policy the government made, that was an executive policy, did not have any of these qualifications. All these qualifiers came much later because this law and this regulation evolved over time. 2012, the Supreme Court gave an order in a case that you can find as Sangeet versus State of Haryana, in which they laid down certain conditions and norms and procedures to be followed for giving these convicts remission. So they said, first of all, this should come directly, the application should come from the convict or from somebody on the convict's behalf. The 1992 regulation said that it's incumbent upon every state government to start this remission process for any convict who had already completed 13 years. Supreme Court said, no, the application has to come from the convict or from somebody from the convict's behalf. Second, the Supreme Court said in 2012 that the right to this remission is not indefeasible, which means it is not your right. You can ask for it, but you can't claim it as a right. Not indefeasible is a word I have read for the first time, but you know, it's not such a rare thing that our courts use language that at least simple people like us can't understand. But what it means is there is no absolute right ki mere 14 saal ho gaye, I have good conduct, mere ko chodo. Not like that. So the third thing the court said that look, the default position is that life sentence is till the end of life. So you can't say that I have a right to seek a release after 14 years, 20 years. You know, generally people think in the popular mind, are a life imprisonment is 14 years, 14 saal ki jail, right? Or 20 saal ki jail. Pehle 14 saal ki thi, it was 14 years, now it's 20 years to get out. It's not like that. It is till the end of life. But there are provisions whereby the state can take the view that you have paid the price, you've suffered enough, you are reformed, you are not likely to be a threat to society. And again, those calls have to be made before you are released. These are also grounds that the court laid, Supreme Court laid in a 2000 judgment. This was a judgment in a case called Lakshman Naskar versus Union of India, where the court said that before you give remission to somebody, you have to first of all determine that the person, it was an individual act of crime that does not affect society. You know, it's very difficult for me to explain that to you. It's quite tricky, but it's a bit like somebody decided in this case, 10 people got together, they saw a woman going somewhere and gang raped her. So you would say that this is, can you call it an individual crime? I don't know. But then it is not part of a larger scheme of riots, right? Or a larger pogrom, which was the case in Gujarat. So under no circumstances can this be described as a kind of individual act of crime that does not affect society. This was a crime of a larger group that does definitely affect society. Second, is there a chance that the crime will be repeated? Who can take insurance on that? I don't know. Third, that convict has lost ability. Once again, the court has used an expression you would not read normally in normal life, but trust the courts to always make us reach out for thesauruses and for dictionaries. They say convict has lost potentiality to commit crime. I don't understand how that's used, but this is the Holy Supreme Court of India, so we'll let it pass. And also then there are things like check out the socioeconomic condition of the convict's family, etc., etc. So some criteria have to be followed. So it's not as if the state then has the absolute right to release the convict. Now, the criticism is that first of all, they were convicted for gang rape and murder. So how can they be released? Because this rule of 2014 forbids that. Second, this case was investigated by the CBI. Once again, the 2014 law forbids this. Remember, India in 2014 was coming out of the shock of the Nirbhaya rape and murder case in Delhi. So the mood was very different at that point. The issue here is which law and regulation will apply to these people. So one of these convicts, who's Radhesham Shah, also known as Lala Wakil, he went to court asking for remission, saying that I've finished more than 14 years, give me remission. Gujarat High Court said, no, your case was tried in Bombay High Court. I am not offending anybody in Maharashtra or Mumbai by calling it Bombay High Court because it's called Bombay High Court. Case was tried in Bombay High Court because Bilkis Banu went to Supreme Court and said, look, I feel unsafe in Gujarat and I don't believe I will get justice in this case in Gujarat because the mood is so polarized. So this case was shifted for trial to Bombay. So Gujarat High Court said, in that case, you apply for remission to Maharashtra government. Now, this convict came to Supreme Court of India, and Supreme Court of India in its order said two important things. One, they said, because the crime was committed in Gujarat, the trial may have been shifted to another state, but the decision on remission will rest with the Gujarat government. That's one. So Radhesham Shah or Lala Wakil, the second question he asked was that, look, Radhesham Shah, Urf, aka Lala Wakil, was convicted in 2008 for a crime committed in 2002. Will the tougher regulations on remission of 2014 apply to his case, or the regulations of 1992 that existed when the crime was committed and when he was convicted? So Supreme Court again held in this case that the law as it existed and regulation as it existed when the crime was committed and when the conviction took place, that would apply. So that is how Gujarat government used the 1992 regulations to release them, and that's why these restrictions of the 2014 law that said, or 2014 principles or regulations that said that a CBI case cannot get remission and that a gang rape murder case cannot get remission did not apply in this case. This is the legal position. What are we complaining about? So we go back to why we use that line. Is duniya mein hai duniya walo bada mushkil hai insaaf karna, bada aasan hai dena sazaein, bada mushkil hai par maaf karna. Because the laws that were available to punish these people, to convict them, were easy to employ in this case because they are bad guys. They are terrible people who gang raped a woman and in whose presence so many people were killed. So they are obviously very bad guys. So they were given the punishment under the law. But the same system of laws also empowers the government and the courts to give any convict remission. And as the law was applied, belonged to 1992 in this case, that remission did not exclude those convicted for gang rape, murder, and similar cases. So legally, this situation, if you take a clinical view of the law, that is not such a problem. But first of all, it's the optical thing, but you know, should law really bother about the optical thing? The fact is that the victim is still around. The victim was 19 when she was raped. So today she's just about 40. She has children, she has family, she lives in the same village. So remember those five conditions. What is the impact on society? Can the crime be repeated? Now the same people walking around in the same place, it will be a permanent taunt and source of fear for the woman and her family. Does she now have to leave the village? So these are considerations that should have been taken into account by the officials who ordered this release or this remission. Also, you have to see the larger impact on society. So one of the conditions Supreme Court laid down in that 2000 judgment, that was before this crime took place and much before the conviction took place. So the first one was, what will be the impact on society? So think about it. What is the impact on society when convicts in a gang rape and murder case like this, in such a prominent case, are released prematurely? So these are things that make this a very dodgy decision. And that's why our view has been what it's been. Gujarat has been through a very tough time. Now, even if you look at Bilkis Bano or Bilkis Yaqub Rasool's story, her case, she was initially given refuge and support by a local Maulvi. His name was Maulvi Hussain Ibrahim Umarji. Now, he was supporting her, and then came in activists from Delhi. He was supporting her, but just as he had begun supporting her, he too was arrested. He was arrested as an accused in the Godhra train burning case. And he was arrested under POTA, Prevention of Terrorism Act. So once again, no bail. He spent time in jail. He was acquitted in 2011. Unfortunately, died in 2013, or he would have had some story to tell us. But you know, once again, was he then picked up because he was helping her so that her own only support base would go away? We don't know any of those things. So if you look at these facts, not dispassionately. We can't be dispassionate because we are not taking a clinical view of law on this argument at this point. We are fellow Indian citizens. We are human beings. We follow a constitution and a system of laws. Somebody, a 19-year-old, was denied justice like this for a very long time. So we can't be dispassionate about it. So you can take a clinical view of the law, but if you take a citizen's view of the situation, how it developed and how it worked out, then it is not difficult to see how we arrived at the opinion that we did at print.